Good morning again. Well, I have a story today that's kind of on topic. And it's about a little boy who comes home from Sunday school. And his mother said, "What did you talk about in Sunday school today?" And he says, "Well, the teacher told us about Moses." And she said, "Well, what about Moses?" And he says, "Well, the story was that Moses was a spy, a secret agent, and that he made his way behind enemy lines into Egypt. And he got all of the Israelites out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea, and he had his engineers build a bridge, get them across the Red Sea. And then when he got on the other side, he got on his walkie-talkie, and he called for reinforcements. And bombers came in and bombed the bridge so that the Israelites were safe." And his mother said, "Really? Is that really the story that your teacher told you?" And he said, "Well, no, Mom, it's not. But if I had told you the story she told us, you never would have believed it." Years ago, back in the days when tobacco companies were allowed to advertise on television, there was a commercial that I always kind of got a kick out of. And I only remember the cigarette brand, maybe Terrytons or something like that. And what happens in a commercial, and two friends casually meet on the street, and they begin to exchange niceties and how you doing, and then one of them complains, "These cigarettes that I'm smoking just are not doing it for me lately. They lost their flavor, and they're very harsh." And the friend says, "Maybe you should try mine," and hands him a Terrytons. And I always was kind of tickled by that, and I thought, what a great opportunity for a parody. You know, two friends meet on the street. "Hey, how's it going? How's everything going in your life?" "Yeah, not so good. Lately, my God's not doing it for me. I'm not getting any prayers answered, and my life is in shambles. Why don't you try my God?" And I mention that because our topic today is, "I am the Lord thy God," which is, of course, the very first commandment. And I'm going to start out by making a statement that that commandment is the most violated out of the Ten Commandments, and it's also the most honored out of the Ten Commandments. And that may seem a little bit strange, because it certainly does to me, but we're going to try to get into it a little bit. I have a very strong Catholic background, 16 years of Catholic education. Any other Catholics here? Okay. So that you could kind of relate to what I'm talking about, because when I was a little boy in Catholic grammar school, we had to memorize those Ten Commandments. And I suppose they might have done this in other denominations as well. I'm really not sure. But I know that there has always remained, even in Christendom, a strong concept about the Ten Commandments. And all that those Ten Commandments really are, just for a summary, is a written expression of a code of ethics for worship and behavior in the Jewish life. In unity, I really think that we really don't know a whole heck of a lot what to do with them, because we're supposed to be all about new thought. And if anything, these commandments are not new. So why even talk about the first commandment or the commandments in general? But the fact of the matter is, in unity, we talk about that first commandment almost all of the time. Because all of that first commandment is an older, more ancient expression of our very first principle. There is only one power, one source, active in the universe and in our lives. And we just sang about that in the song, "God in Everything." Everything I see, everything I do, everything I... Help me. That's okay. Okay. Is you. Okay. And we're going to be doing the song later, "One Power," which says more of the same. So that first commandment is really an older iteration of our first principle. And then we get a little something else added to the mixture, because there's a second part to that first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. And so just to give you a little cultural background, those scriptures that talk about the commandments in the book of Exodus were written approximately 900 BC. And this was at a time that virtually everybody on the planet worshipped more than one god. And so that even in the days of the Greeks and the Romans, they had a multitude of gods. And so really this writing that there should only be one God was literally millennia ahead of its time. So it's really very fascinating. So going back to that first commandment and how I was indoctrinated in it, we use that before going to confession as kind of a checklist. We would have to sit and pray and review the Ten Commandments kind of like a checkoff list. I violated this one 3 times. I violated this one. Okay. I won't tell you which one was my heavy-duty commandment that I had to talk about. But I have a question for you. How many times in the last year have you violated this first commandment? How many times in the last month have you violated this first commandment? How many times in this past week have you violated this first commandment? Have you violated this first commandment even this morning? And at the risk of coming off like a fire and brimstone preacher, I'm going to not so gently suggest to you that all of us in this room very, very, very probably have violated this commandment in the past year, the past month, likely in the past week, and very, very, very possibly even this morning. And I say that because each and every one of us has our own golden calves that at one time or another we let go of the mindfulness of that first commandment, or we lose sight of the fact, the reality, that there is only one power, one source active in our lives, and we glom on and bow down and worship something other. So let's take a look at this for just a moment from a metaphysical standpoint. Because the story in Exodus, to summarize it, Moses climbs up Mount Sinai. And when, first of all, it's important to remember, just remind you, whenever we do metaphysics, you are all of the characters in the story, okay? So he climbs up Mount Sinai. And this is not an easy climb. Geographically, the terrain of that mount is rugged and rough and dangerous. So this wasn't the gentle walk up a path, you know, through a garden or something like that. It took work. And it's significant to take note of that, because as we try to climb and ascend in our awareness and consciousness, it's not just a walk through the park. It's a lot of work in order to get there, in order to get to the top. But Moses makes it to the top, where he speaks to God and enters into communion with God. And he arrives at that higher state of awareness, that higher state of consciousness. So in our own lifetimes, you know, we might have heard the Martin Luther King Jr. speech, "I have been to the mountaintop." And it's a mindfulness, a state of awareness, and a realization and appreciation that there is only one God. and that God necessarily is supposed to be a part of everything we see, everything we do, all of the time. And while he's up there, he is enlightened and develops an awareness of the commandments, or a set of practical, tangible guidelines in which that consciousness of there's only one God can be translated into everyday life for the Israelites. And then as he descends from that higher consciousness, descends from Mount Sinai, he gets near the bottom only to discover that while he was up there, the Israelites have melted all of their gold and fashioned it into a golden calf, which they are worshiping. And we do the same thing. We come out of meditation, or we come out of some mystical experience that we have had in our lives, and all of a sudden, it's business as usual. And we forget about what we have learned and what we have experienced and what we have felt when we are in that mountaintop experience. And all of a sudden, we just lose sight. And our minds, our hearts, our being are not in that place that there's only one power, one source in our lives. Or actually, in many cases, that's exactly where we are when we descend in our consciousness. It's just that we've opted out for a different golden calf. The golden calf is a powerful symbol. It represents for us metaphysically anything other than the one truth, one divine mind, the one power, one source that really is active and a part of everything. Many of us may have several gods. You know, what is it that you truly worship? If you've ever had any kind of a habit or an addiction or a prejudice that you're trying to break, you understand how difficult it is to break away from your golden calf. And by the way, all gods are very demanding and very jealous. You know, you hear, if you ever saw it in the movie, The Ten Commandments, in the loud booming voice, "I am the Lord thy God." Our habits, our addictions, they shout out to us just as loudly, maybe even more so, making it really, really tough to connect with what God is all about and what life is all about. I think it's a significant question, not to ask how many times I broke the commandment, but how many times I have honored, you know, the golden calf in our life. It could be cigarettes. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. Remember, there was a series of commercials that were run on television years ago, an anti-drug campaign. And they interviewed a drug addict and they were questioning, "Would you do anything for drugs?" And the individual said, "Yes." "Would you lie for them?" "Yes." "Would you steal for them?" "Yes." "Would you kill for them?" "Yes." Our gods are very powerful. And sometimes we engage in worshiping them without even thinking about them. Here, you want to see a modern day golden calf? Okay. You know, it's become an addiction in so many ways that we can't even engage in or stay present in a conversation with people that are very significant to us in our lives. It's where we give our worship. It is where we now provide our adoration. And you might say, you know, maybe you're being unfair here. You're not being realistic. I mean, we have to be about what we have to be about. You know, we have to be about our jobs. But is your job an addiction? Are you infusing God into your jobs? Or is your job demanding and dictating to you how you should behave and what you should be worshiping? And we have to be about our family. And the same thing even applies there. You know, that's the context in which the words of Jesus make sense when he said, I will turn mother against daughter and daughter against mother and fathers against sons and sons against fathers. Because it was just an incredible emphasis. You really have to stay focused. You know, years ago I had a very, very painful conversation with Susan it was enlightening. Because we really were expressing our love for one another. And the question came up, what if we really felt God was calling us to be or do something other than what was involved in this relationship? It's scary stuff. And it's scary stuff to let go of the habits and the addictions. I don't care if it's something as simple as biting your fingernails. These types of things absolutely have a way of ruling over us. I'm not asking you to not live your lives. That's ridiculous. But somehow, you have to keep bringing it back. And that's why prayer and meditation are so, so very important. Somebody that I know and care about very much recently was told by her doctor, I think you need to take your lunch hour at work and spend 20 minutes just being in quiet and meditating. And this person said, that wasn't going to happen. I mean, somebody was receiving medical advice and upfront said, I cannot disobey the demands of my job. It's always been fascinating to me, the very, very first four words of the Hebrew Scriptures. And they just say, in the beginning, God. And how easy it is for us to lose sight of that reality. How easy is it for us to forget that nothing is possible without God or divine mind or truth, whatever works for you, light, love, life. Nothing is possible without it. And everything is possible with it. So yes, we adhere to that first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. But the question that we all have to reckon with and deal with is just really, what is our God? What has become the most promoting reality in our lives? I think it's a commandment that is very, very worth pondering and not running off to go to confession someplace, but to have a come to Jesus talk within. You know, and just say, am I really, really, really allowing myself to answer the call and be in alignment? Golden calves are pretty. There's no question about them. You know, I'm ashamed to admit I like all kinds of little knickknacks and things going on, tchotchkes around the house, and I think they're really cool. It's just so easy to get caught up in them. It's just so easy to get lost in them. And so I think we look at this first commandment not as a negative thing, not as a judgmental thing, but as an opportunity for us to refocus. Obeying that commandment and adhering to one God is really, really easy. The difficulty comes in trying to discern what you need to recognize and affirm and live in your life. And so with that, I invite you, let's go to the mountaintop now and recommune with the one divine mind, with the one spirit active in the universe and in our lives through meditation.